Blog Talk Radio.
Six international holidays converge onto the scene every December and early January to make our schedules hectic, exciting, and pressure-filled. Wrapping gifts while shopping at odd hours of the night either push us into the spirit of happiness or help us to find an escape path until all of the celebrations are over. Today, we'll cover six holidays with religious and non-religious implications and learn some interesting facts and figures that will make you scratch your head in amazement. The marathon includes Hanukkah, winter solstice, Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year's, and Three Kings Day. Learn new stuff and pass it on as the merriment continues throughout the holiday season. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I am glad to be with you today, wherever you happen to be. We have lots to talk about today in terms of the holidays, whether you believe in any of the holidays, celebrate one or two of them, or want nothing to do with them. Just want to give you some facts and some figures about why December around the world can be a very hectic period of time, a very happy time, and for some people, a very sad time too. We're going to also talk about my brand new membership website, the Multicultural Symposium Series MSS Global Summit. So you'll hear more about that later on in the show. I'm very excited about it, and we will talk to you about that in the coming radio programs and broadcasts as well. So I want to get started because I want to cover all six and give you, obviously, I have more material to talk about than time allows in 30 minutes, so we're just going to jump right into it. Well, the first holiday, because this is 2018, and this holiday has actually already happened, December 2nd, December 3rd to the 10th, was Hanukkah. And Hanukkah in the Jewish tradition is a rather minor holiday, but it gets elevated in December because of Christmas. So I looked up some information about Hanukkah, and these are two interesting facts about it. You can go and read online and at my blog website, MSSConnect.com, I'll have the links where you can find out more information based on what I am sharing with you on the air. So this is what you may want to know about Hanukkah. And it says, in the days of Tammuz, there were two major academies of learning, Hillel and Shammai. The house of Hillel taught that every night of Hanukkah, we add another candle as we do today in this modern day and time. But the house of Shammai, however, maintained that we begin with eight lights on the first night and less flame every night. So in other words, every night there would be a flame that would be extinguished. Except Hanukkah would actually end with a single flame. That's really interesting. So there's a debate about that. And nowadays, obviously, modern people of the Jewish faith follow the Hillel tradition of extinguishing or putting out, extinguishing a candle every night of the eight nights of Hanukkah. Now, here's another fact about Hanukkah that I found out and that you may be interested in. Hanukkah candles must burn as night falls, since their purpose is to bring light into darkness. But they needed to be lit early enough that someone will be around to see them. The lights need to be seen so that they can serve their function of reminding others of the great miracle God wrought. So it's all based on a miracle and lights that were not supposed to last, and they did last eight nights, and therefore that is one of the festivals and the great traditions of the Jewish faith, and that's Hanukkah. But remember, Hanukkah is a minor religion, minor faith, because the high holy period is between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Those are very, very important holidays in the Jewish faith. So we skip forward, move on, and talk about winter solstice. Winter solstice this year is happening today, actually. I'm broadcasting really early on December 21st, and winter solstice happens on Friday, December 21st at 5:23 p.m. Eastern time. In other words, that's when darkness hits and winter solstice occurs. What does it mean? This is what it means. The term solstice comes from the Latin word sol, S-O-L, for sun, and sistere, to stand still, because during the solstice, angle of the sun's rays and the plane of the earth's equator, called desolation, appears to stand still. So, what does it mean exactly? Upon the winter solstice, the sun appears at its lowest in the sky, and its noonday elevation seems to stay the same for several days before and after this day. The sun's gradual decrease in the sky reverses upon the winter's solstice, making what many cultures believe to be a rebirth of the sun as the hours of daylight become longer. So we have two halves. We have winter solstice, and this being the lowest day, the shortest day of the year, and we have summer solstice 6 months later, which happens to be the longest day of the year. We celebrate winter solstice. Those living in the southern hemisphere will be simultaneously marking the summer solstice. So again, if you are in Australia, I'm in Massachusetts here in the United States, but if you are in Australia or the southern part of Africa or the southern part of South America or wherever the southern hemisphere happens to be, obviously we're talking about summer solstice. But if you're here north, in terms of the northern hemisphere, then we are definitely talking about winter solstice. So there are a lot of folk traditions and holidays that go way, way back, way before the birth of Jesus and Christianity. And what's interesting is that if you look at a lot of these holidays that happen in December, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim or a Jewish person or Hindu or whatever, you'll find that there is a pagan element in some of the religious traditions. And I'll get more into that when I talk about Christianity. So, yep, paganism is definitely a part of some of the Christian faiths, and it has its roots in many ways in winter solstice. So we look at winter solstice, and the winter solstice has played an important role in cultures worldwide from ancient time until today. In fact, many of the customs, lore, symbols, and rituals associated with Christmas, which I just said, are actually associated with winter solstice celebrations of the ancient pagan cultures. Shock, shock, shock. See, I told you, you were going to learn something new today. So I'm not going to read all of this again. I'll have the links at my blog at mssconnect.com, and you can follow it on your own. But to give you an example, and this one I do want to read because it has to do with Stonehenge and something that is older than Stonehenge. So the Welsh Light of Winter is a universal festival which has been, and it still is, celebrated by many people, and it is probably the oldest seasonal festival of humankind. Interesting. In Druidic traditions, the winter solstice is thought of as a theme of death and rebirth, when nature's powers and our own souls are renewed. It marks the moment in time when the old sun dies at dusk at the 21st of December, and when the sun of the new year is born at the dawn of the 22nd of December, framing the longest night of the year. And the birth of the new sun is thought to be revived of the earth's aura in mystical ways, giving a new lease to life to spirits and souls of the dead. the prehistoric monument Newgrange, which was built in Ireland around 3200 BC, making it older than Stonehenge, that's in England, is associated with the Alban Arthen Festival. And the site consists of a large circular mound with a stone passageway and interior chambers. And when the sun rises, the chamber is flooded with sunlight on the winter solstice. What Stonehenge is for Alban Heflin, the Druid festival of the summer solstice, Newgrange is for the Alban Arthen. So that's what you know. So, I mean, there's lots of other pagan traditions that obviously go back thousands of years, all connected with the solstice experience. And in addition to the traditions of Western culture, the Donji, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, Winter Solstice Festival is celebrated at a time for the entire family to get together and celebrate the past good year. And as ancient Chinese thought, the yang or muscular positive things will become stronger and stronger after this day, so it should be celebrated. And they actually have dumplings that are eaten, usually eaten on that day. And let me just share one more with you. In ancient Rome, the winter solstice festival, referred to as Saturnalia, began on December 17th and lasted 7 days. It was held to honor Saturnus, the Roman god of agriculture and harvest, and was characterized by the suspension of discipline and reversal of the usual order. Grudges and quarrels were forgiven. Kind of like that one. Wars were postponed, definitely like that one, and people engaged in carnival-like festivities. And the popularity of Saturnalia continued into the 3rd and 4th centuries, and as the Roman Empire came under Christian rule, some of the festival's customs have influenced our current celebrations surrounding Christmas and the New Year. So one more thing, this is quite interesting because this really does move into Christmas. And I want to share with you why Christmas did not start when Jesus was born 2,100 years ago. Did you know that not all the seasons are the same, and the time it takes for the sun to move from the vernal equinox to the summer solstice is 92.8 days, to the autumnal, autumnal, I think I pronounced that right the first time, equinox is 93.6 days, to the winter solstice is 89.8 days, and back to the vernal equinox, 89 days approximately. So now you know a little bit about this. I wanted to spend more time with this because this sort of dovetails into our next discussion about Christmas. You're listening to Focus on Empowerment with Carol Copeland Thomas. And we're going to take a little break now and talk about the Multicultural Symposium series and our very exciting new membership program. Stay tuned and we'll be back and we'll talk about Christmas next. Join the fastest growing globally based membership community, the Multicultural Symposium Series. Since 2008, MSS is designed to advance the cause of diversity, multiculturalism, and inclusion. By joining MSS, you connect with our community of professionals around the world who respect the differences and similarities throughout the marketplace. Through our new online courses, resource center, and community forum where you can discuss important issues with colleagues around the marketplace, MSS will enhance your personal and professional development and take your knowledge base of the subject to a whole new level. And your membership includes attending the always popular multicultural conference. It's simple, fast, and effective to become a member. Simply visit www.mssglobalsummit.com and click the Join Now button on the homepage.
It's only $29 a month to join MSS, and you'll receive discount pricing when you join as a small business owner or corporate leader looking for solid value for your staff members and colleagues. Visit www.mssglobalsummit.com and get ready to take your career path to the top.
And there you have it. That's the brand new announcement for a brand new website that's up, www.mssglobalsummit.com. You can join as a member. I'm excited. We have close to 200 members who are already on board, and I plan on skipping around the world, sharing opportunities for people to connect at mssglobalsummit.com as a member. Check it out. Love to have you on board. Well, a lot of people think that Christmas and the way we celebrate Christmas just goes back countless thousands of years, and it does not. First of all, December 25th was originally a pagan celebration. Now, I just read to you about winter solstice and all the festivities that got migrated and pulled into Christmas. Nobody really knows when Jesus of Nazareth was born. We have arbitrarily, we in terms of humanity and the rulers of the day, arbitrarily decided on having him to be, quote, born at the end of the year. And we just talked about this at my church on Sunday when my pastor preached, Reverend Hammond, at Bethel AME Church in Boston, that perhaps Jesus was probably born in the springtime. But for a number of reasons, it evolved to him being born at the end of the year. And so we really don't know what the date is, but December 25th was co-opted from a pagan rites connected to the winter solstice, which I just read to you about. So that's the truth. It evolved. And again, some of the pagan customs and traditions have become part of Christmas. Now, this I find quite interesting because Santa Claus originated in a newspaper ad. And far from the quaint medieval legend, Santa Claus first appeared as a recognizable entity was in a newspaper ad for toys and gift books in the mid-19th century. So that's the 1800s. And that is also tied in when Christmas trees became popular. I find this quite interesting. Now, this is also interesting because the precursor to the family-oriented Christmas was more of an adult version of the holiday, which involved an awful lot of drinking. Now, we know that song, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, We Wish You a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." Well, that's what we know now. But this ever-popular song was originally sung loudly and repeated by crowds of rowdy lower-class servants demanding booze, that's alcohol, from their masters. And it says, or else we'll, so we won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We want some right now. They wanted some alcohol because alcohol and drinking went hand in hand with this festival, which turned into Christmas, which originated from winter solstice, which is quite interesting. Now, when it comes to the Christmas tree, I have two articles I'm pulling from, and I'm glad I updated one of my articles because it gave me a lot more insight. So this piece first says that the Christmas tree is a manufactured tradition. Victorian intellectuals like Clement Moore invented the tradition as a part of a social movement to consciously reform Christmas away from its tradition of raucous drinking. Remember, I talked about winter solstice moving into here, these lower class servants, they want booze from their masters. And so this Clement Moore began the reformation of Christmas. And obviously now it's just totally evolved to be completely merchandise out of its original meaning of the birth of Jesus Christ. But for a long time, I thought that the Christmas tree. I knew that the Christmas tree dated back to Germany, probably the middle 1600s or so, with Germany and decorating a tree for this holiday, December 25th. But then I read that Prince Albert, Queen Victoria's consort, I thought that the Christmas tree was popularized by them, but it actually precedes Queen Victoria and her husband, who she beloved, and he was from Germany originally. It dated back to Queen Charlotte, who was German, and she was the wife of George III, and she was known for setting up an English tree at the Queen's Lodge in Windsor in December of 1800. Well, what she would do, she would decorate the tree. She had sweetmeats on there and presents for children, et cetera. And people were just amazed and stunned in England because of the beauty of the tree and how unusual it was. And then little children could take items off the tree. And it was just a delightful thing that got replicated in the houses of very wealthy people. Now, that's the early 1800s. Now, finally, she was actually in power for a number of years, but then around the 1840s and then 1850s, when Prince Albert was in power with his beloved wife, Queen Victoria, they continued with the tradition. And then because of the popularization of magazines, their tree was pictured in magazines that were then read by the middle class and the poorer class in England and all of their territories and colonies. And so there really became the birth of the Christmas tree and the family, because they had lots of children, and what we now know of as a decorative family spirit. So it just evolved. So again, go back to winter solstice and then pick it up in terms of how things were changed. Then Queen Charlotte in England, and then Prince Albert and Queen Victoria, et cetera. So I also read here that trees placed on tabletops usually also had either a Noah's Ark or a model farm and numerous gaily painted wooden animals set out among the presents beneath the branches to add extra allurement to the scene. So this just became quite something. Queen Charlotte died in 1818. And then, as I said, by 1840, Prince Albert, he imported several spruce firs from his native Kohlberg in Germany. And then that was really no novelty to the aristocracy, as I had mentioned earlier. But when periodicals like Illustrated London News and Castle magazines depicted the scene, it was picked up by the rest of the people in the domain of England, etc. So that's a long version of the Christmas tree, but a very important one that I hope that you will enjoy. Now, the Three Kings, which is also part of the whole story behind the baby Jesus. I always think when I read the passage in the Bible, how smart they were. They certainly were wise men, because they did not want the king, Herod, to know where baby Jesus was, because he was on a killing spree and he definitely wanted to know that. And they tricked him and they went home a different way. So they went one way to see baby Jesus and then they left going back home another way so that King Herod would not find out where they had gone, where they had gone to see baby Jesus. Now, this is interesting because they did bore gifts of gold, frankincense, which is aromatic resin used in the incense of perfumes and oils. But then I read this other piece, which I found quite interesting, going back to my other source that talks about all of the pagan influence and other influences in Christianity. But when I go back and read about the Three Kings, let me see if I can pull this out. They just talked about the symbolic nature of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, just talking about life and death and all of that being related to why those items were symbolically given to the parents of Jesus on his birth, and one of the last ones was symbolic of his coming death. So it was very prophetic in terms of that part of the history of the birth of Jesus. Well, we could go on and talk on and on about Christmas, but again, when you think about some of the interesting traditions and habits that we have, just remember that some of it comes from paganism. It does. One of the best parts of Christmas is the bounty of Christmas cake available everywhere. I guess if you talk about fruitcakes and other kind of cakes that are eaten in many traditions, these cakes are also known as plum cakes, but there are in fact no plums in the cake. Raisins were known as plums in medieval days, and so they were used with ingredients stirred in an east to west direction, similar to that of the journey of the three wise men. So we could go on and on and on about all these traditions about Christmas, but I want to move on and talk about Kwanzaa, which happens on the 26th of Christmas, 26th day of December through January 1st. It is a holiday that started off by Dr. Mulana Karanga, who started the holiday in 1966 out in California. He is a college professor. I believe he is still living, too. I've been out to California and went to his center. And there are seven principles and seven primary symbols related to Kwanzaa. This is a secular holiday. This is not a religious holiday. It says, beginning on December 26th and lasting 7 days, Kwanzaa is a celebration of community, family, and culture established by as a means to help African Americans reconnect with their African roots and heritage. And I know, I have friends actually here in the Boston area who really put a lot of effort celebrating Kwanzaa, going, they have families that they do this with, and they go to different homes, and each day of the week they have a different celebration. So they have food and festivities, probably no gifts at all because there really aren't any gifts given with Kwanzaa, but just sort of recommitting. Again, thinking about that rebirth again, recommitting to living a pure and whole life for the new year. The first U.S. postage stamp to commemorate Kwanzaa was issued in 1997, and there have been five designs released since that time. I actually bought some Kwanzaa stamps a few weeks ago, and I will be purchasing more soon. The universe of Kwanzaa is rooted in the African culture. However, people from all racial and ethnic backgrounds are welcome to join in the celebration. And there are lots of people who celebrate Kwanzaa today who are not black, and that's perfectly okay. The colors of Kwanzaa are the reflection of the Pan-African movement, which means unity for people of African descent worldwide, black for the people. Red for the noble blood that unites all people of African ancestry, and green for the rich land of Africa. So that's Kwanzaa. And then the last holiday. One thing I'm just going to real quickly talk about this because my time is running out. New Year's Day, to celebrate and to commemorate New Year's Day is Watch Night. In the black community, Watch Night is big here in the United States. It commemorates the hours before President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation went into effect on January 1st, 1863. And if you go to my website that I collaborate with my friends, Ebony Speakers, the December 3rd blog, you can link it. I'll include this in the notes. You can read all about Watch Night, Black Eyed Peas, and how important it is. And then the last holiday is Three Kings Day, and I'm going to pick up on this. I was trying to find this sheet. Again, I was talking about the myrrh. Myrrh is a perfume used to embalm dead bodies, represented the fact that Jesus would eventually suffer and die. Three Kings Day is on January 6th. It talks about the three wise men going to give their gifts. And in many Spanish, Latin American cultures, it is big, and it is the ending time of the season of Advent, the birth of Jesus Christ. So there you have it, long and short, all these holidays, and I wish you all the very best, whatever you happen to celebrate, with another show in the coming days. Thanks so much. Take care. See you soon. Happy holidays.